Because you see, your mind will either become creative or destructive based on whatever you feed it. If you feed it bad questions from on the inside, it's gonna think poorly. Oh, what if I can't pay for the bills? Oh, what if I drive out of here and get into an accident? Oh, what if I don't get a job? What if I lose my figure? What if I lose my hair? What if I don't get married? What if I do get married?
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message that will make you stop and ask yourself some really tough questions. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled Faith When No One Is Looking.
One of the best things to do is to let your faith be known because it'll purify you. You don't, you'll get hit on every side. Set your mind. Well, you say, well, Wayne, you know, what happens even though I set my mind because I really want to do what God wants me to do and my heart is set, but I tell you, I drift. Yeah, we all will. What do you do then? Number two, which you write in your notes, then renew your mind often. Renew your mind often, which means bring it back. Just because you're bringing it back doesn't mean you're off. It means you want to stay on. So don't curse yourself for being off. Thank God that you're renewing your mind often. God doesn't keep track of how many times you drift. You know what he keeps track on? How many times his kids come home. That's what blesses his heart. I was talking to an airline pilot, and I said, do you just set your course when you go from L.A., say, to Honolulu? Do you just set it on automatic pilot and then, like, play video games the rest of the time? What do you do? He said, oh, no, we set our course. But because of various jet streams and air currents, we're always going to be drifting off. We have to correct to course dozens and dozens of times, he said, along the way. So I said, are you that far off that you have to keep correcting? He said, we don't correct because we're off. We correct because we want to stay on. I thought, Lord, that's same is true with us. I'm just going to keep correcting because I want to stay on. And that's why this Lord tells us in the scriptures in the book of Ephesians. He says, let's read it. Ready? Go. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the next one, Romans 12 in the living. Let God transform you into a new person. Chotomate, right there. Now, God is going to say, I'm going to transform you into a new person. Now, how is that going to happen? Watch closely. Ready? Go. By changing the way you think. Chotto, right there. Now, I got to teach you guys Japanese as well, you know. Now, God is saying that he, by transforming the way we think, will cause us to be a new person. But that newness is only going to come if we're willing to what? Change the way we think. You see, if you don't change the way you think, you can change on the outside, but the inside will still be vulnerable, susceptible, even hungry for drifts and temptations. You'll be fantasizing and doing things, and when the opportunity provides itself in the physical, bang, you're going to go that way because you're at the gate on the inside. You're ready to go. But it's on the inside, but you're kind of holding it in. But once that opportunity comes, you buckle loose that way. Why? Because you didn't change the way you think. It was a matter of the heart. And so God is saying, I want to transform you. A lot of times the way we think has been guided by and taught by the world. And in the King James or the New American Standard, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you'll know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So how's God going to transform us? By us being willing to renew our thinking. How do you do that? Let's read the next scripture. Ready? Go. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And when the thoughts in your mind are drifting, he says, you capture them and you make sure you monitor them and you keep them submitted to the things of God. Please listen. Your mind is not a DMZ. You know what that is? It's not a demilitarized zone where you can do anything you want and you're immune from the attacks of the enemy. Don't even think of that for a moment. The devil would love for you to think that. But listen carefully. The devil is a headhunter. Your mind is the battlefield. Your imaginations will be his trophies. You see, if the enemy can get you to fantasize, if he can get your mind to drift and do whatever you want to think about and do in your mind, thinking that since no one can see, then it's okay, then he's got you duped. See, Satan's a headhunter. That's why Ephesians says, put on the helmet of, do you remember? Salvation. He's saying, guard your thoughts. And he says in Corinthians, bring every thought into captivity. Your mind is a tool. And a tool that needs to be developed and trained. And so we need to train it by the Spirit of God guiding us and mentoring us to think the way we are supposed to think so that we start to think more like Christ. Because then the Bible says we will have the mind of Christ. Because see, then you think how Jesus thinks. And if you think how Jesus thinks, you'll see how Jesus sees and you'll start to do what the Lord does. Then you'll be an accurate representation, clear to the bone of the Lord on this earth. That's called church. So that we are transformed, not playing an act or playing a role, we'll be transformed into the image of Christ. So your mind is a tool. And it's not just talking about your brain, talking about your mind, the way you utilize that brain. And you factor in the core values, the perspective of your heart, the reservoir, what's inside of you. What you draw out to make decisions with. Is it stuff the world has put in, experiences from the world, or what God's word is saying? That's called a treasure in your heart. It's a tool that we can either get sharp or dull. And it's the way you use it. So develop it. Use it well. It's like when they're having brain transplants, there were 3 brains to choose from. There's a Japanese brain that was worth $10,000. There's a Pake brain, $12,000, and the Porigi brain was $42,000. So the guy said, Doctor, how come the Porigi brain's so expensive? The doctor said, because that one has never been used. You gotta use your mind. But isn't it true? Courage unused diminishes. Commitment unexercised weakens. In a marriage, family, faith, commitment unexercised weakens. And love unshared dissipates. A mind unused. Corderos, Maderas, Sousas, Calderas, those kinds. Well, some people say, well, Wayne, my problem isn't that I don't use it. I think I use it too much. It's too imaginative. I go off into the fantasy island stuff. How do I reel this back in? How do I correct all of this stuff? What do I do with wrong thoughts? John Wesley, a preacher of yesteryear, said it really well. And at first it sounds dumb, but listen. He said, I can't stop a bird from flying over my head, but I can sure stop him from making a nest in my hair. I heard that and I thought, that's about the dumbest quote I've ever heard. But then I understood. What he was saying was, I can't stop fleeting thoughts from entering my mind, but I can sure stop myself from giving audience to it, dwelling on it, giving it a room to stay in, taking up residence until it takes over my whole being. I can stop that. And so he's saying, correct the thoughts. Well, how do you sharpen your mind? 3, invest wisely in how you think. That's right. Did you know that your mind does not control you? Your mind isn't that which directs your life. It's the Spirit of God who is in you that's teaching your mind how to get sharp and think. And so invest wisely in how you think. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. See, the scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he, which means the sum total of your thoughts and attitudes is who you are. That's you. Someone said it this way, sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, and you reap a habit. Keep sowing a habit, and you'll reap a reputation. Sow a reputation, and you've reaped your destiny. But if you rewind the tape, it all starts with the way that we're thinking on the inside. Right thinking will lead you to right action. Wrong thinking will lead you to wrong action. Sometimes I sit with people in a counseling situation and they'll tell me the problem and I'll say, okay, okay. And then they'll start revealing the way they think about the problem. Oh man, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me. I'm finished. I can never show my face again in that workplace or the school. I just can't do anything right. Boy, I hate so-and-so and I hate him for even letting me do that, but it's their fault. But I think I just run away and die. And I listen to him and I say, you know, the problem is nothing compared to the way you think about the problem. You know what the bigger problem is? You and your thinking. The problem is Manini now compared to your thinking process. Your thinking process is so bad that it has taken on a mutated life of its own. And now the problem is real small. Your thinking is the problem. Because you see, if we remove the situation, but you keep that kind of thinking, you're going to get into this problem and that, and it will follow you the rest of your life. If you change the way you think, you'll be able to handle problems without without really going backwards. But if you don't change the way you think, everything will become a problem. And a problem isn't the problem. It's the way you think that becomes the problem. Because you see, your mind will either become creative or destructive based on whatever you feed it. If you feed it bad questions from on the inside, it's going to think poorly, just how it was created. Questions such as, oh, what if I can't pay for the bills? Oh, what if I drive out of here and get into an accident? Or what if I don't get a job? What if I don't get married? What if I do get married? What if I lose my figure? What if I lose my teeth? What if I lose my hair? You know, what if I lose my eyesight? I tell them, you're losing your mind is what you're doing. On the other hand, you can pull out right questions. A situation happens and you say, well, wait a minute, what's good about this situation? At first you say nothing, but nah. You know what the situation did? It drew me closer to the Lord. That's good. It helped me to realize that I can't cover up character flaws and scoot my way through life fooling people. It's going to come up. It's going to destroy my life. And I can't just carry bad, rotting opala with me and think it's okay. It's going to start to stink sooner or later. I've got to deal with that. That's good. I'm also realizing that I'm not able to take things and people for granted anymore. I can't also shuck and jive people. I've got to be true and honest and integrous. Those are good things. And the Lord says, good, because you are now pulling up right questions that'll help you feed your mind with stuff that'll give you answers rather than just a bigger problem. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. See, what God is saying is you got to have right treasures in your heart, because what's in there is going to come out. And you make sure that you're teaching your mind, feeding your mind with right stuff. Well, how do you do that? Let me give you three easy ways, very practical. Number one, develop wise friendships, or invest in, rather, wise friendships. Develop wise friendships. What does that mean? If you want a good marriage, hang around those that have a good marriage. One of the best ways to expand your life is to evaluate the friendships you have and make sure you've got good friendships. You want to be making wiser decisions? Find those who make wise decisions and make them your friends. You want to be someone that has a better walk with God? Find those who have a good walk with God, make them your friends. Real simple, because it'll rub off on you and you'll be able to hold each other accountable to what those values are. Let's read Proverbs 13:20 and you'll see what I mean. Ready? Go. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Do you understand what he's saying? Don't cause harm to come on yourself by not evaluating your friendships. Evaluate them. Improve on your friendships. Well, you say, well, where do I start? If you want to just start somewhere, I'd say join a care group. What's a care group? People that come together to learn. Why? A sister stopped me in the Kahala Mall yesterday and I was doing my devotion. She stopped by and she said, "Can I ask you just one question?" I said, "Sure." She said, "What is a disciple?" I said to her, "Disciple is a Greek word in the New Testament, mathetes, which means learner. So if you're a disciple, you're someone who is a learner. And you have such a curiosity about the things of God that you're initiating that learning process. You're following the Lord because you want to learn. So disciples are learners that are initiating that learning process by following the one who teaches them, the Lord. They're called a disciple. And if you will join a care group, what you're doing is you're gathering with 10 other people who are learners and have initiated that time in the week to gather together to learn. Start there. There's ministries available. Jump in a ministry, not only for what you can contribute, but what those servants can contribute to you. You understand? Not only develop wise friendships, but number two, your daily devotions. Your daily devotions. That's the best way to develop good friendships. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" Some time ago, I said to the Lord, "Lord, I wish I lived in the Bible times. I wish I lived in the Bible times to see the miracles and watch Paul and to hear Peter speak and to be with them, just watching them walk the streets of Capernaum or Jerusalem. I wish I were in the Bible times." And the Lord, almost like he snapped his fingers and he said, "You can be. You see, I have given you the Word of God and I have put the lives of those people in there. And then I breathed it or caused there to be an inspiration." Timothy says, all Scripture is inspired. And it's also God-breathed, the Bible tells us, which means I can make friends with David, the king of Israel. As I read his life and hear how he thinks, begin to get involved with his life through the Scriptures, God says, if you'll open up the chapters of the life of David, I will breathe it to life. And you can become friends with the apostles. You can be a friend with the prophets of old. You can make friends with the greatest king of Israel. You can walk the streets of Jerusalem with the disciples. You can make friends with all of the great saints of old. And as you read and you do daily devotions, what you're doing is you're making friends and you're understanding the heart of these whom God has used so greatly. Develop friendships, not only physically, but also or contemporarily, but also historically. Daily devotions. And then finally, and this is one of the most important, speak truth in your heart. Speak truth in your heart. You see, what you speak in your heart will ultimately cause you to become that. The Bible says it this way. Let's read the scripture there at the bottom. Ready? Go. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in your heart. Don't ever think that you can just grumble and speak wrong kinds of words and curse people on the inside and it has no effect or adverse effect on you. Nah, don't believe that for a moment. In fact, God always looks, checks the dipstick, as it were, to see what's going on the inside. That tells him the condition of your heart. That's why the scripture says in the book of Corinthians chapter 10, it says, don't grumble as some did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Who's the destroyer? The thief comes to steal, kill, and to what? Destroy. The enemy of your soul, the adversary of your family, is a destroyer. And when I'm grumbling on the inside, he realizes that you are okay with living an inconsistent life because who you are on the outside is not who you really are on the inside. When that happens, you're open game to the demons of hell. Be someone clear and clean, integrous to the bone, which will mean that we'll need to monitor what goes on the inside. Here's one of the best prayers I've ever prayed, and I must pray this often. It's this: Lord, may my thoughts please you today. Try that one on for size. May my thoughts please you today. I don't always win on that one. I make lots of mistakes. But renew your mind. May my thoughts please you today. Because if your thoughts are right, your actions will follow suit. So, in order to help us to develop a mind that will cause there to be a growing faith on the inside, because if I'm grumbling, if I'm upset, my faith can't grow. It actually weakens the weight beneath the waterline. But if I am saying, no, I'm not going to think that, I'm correcting my mind, you'd be surprised how the Holy Spirit now can speak to you. I have to correct my mind sometimes 20, 30 times a day, where a fleeting thought comes in, and as soon as I recognize it, I'll say this. You won't hear me say it out loud, but I will say this. I'll say, nope, I reject that. Nope, I'm not going to think that way. Nope, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to think that way. Nope, that's not what I want to become. You see, because if you're not careful and you let those thoughts continue, it's only going to run you into a wall. So we just have to stop them. Sometimes at 5 minutes, you recognize it. Stop. Then at 4, nope, I reject that. Then at 3 minutes, you'll catch it. Then at 2. Then within seconds, you'll say, oh, no, I don't want to think that way. Nope, that doesn't please the Lord. And then what happens is God looks at your heart and says, ah, there's a man after my own heart. There's a woman after my own heart. So here's your homework. Ready? Here it is. Over the next 7 days, I want you to go with me on a mental diet. I don't want you to eat junk thoughts. Don't dwell on, don't in any way allow yourself to indulge in thoughts that are destructive, worrisome, anger-building, depressive kind of thoughts, bitter thoughts. Just say, nope, I'm not going to think that way. Because this mind, does it look like a garbage can? No, I'm not going to put opala in there. I'm going to use this for the things of God. This belongs to God. And so I'm going to use it for the things of God. So mental diet. Some of you might say, Wayne, before I go on a mental diet, I need to have a mental enema. It may be. Just got to wash that stuff out. Maybe. But think only thoughts that would please the Lord. And if you start dwelling on something that's wrong, stop and renew your mind. And let's do that for 7 days. Let me give you a rule of thumb that's really helped me. If a problem comes up, I have made as a rule of thumb to not spend more than 20% of my time thinking about the problem. I will spend 80% of my time thinking about ways to resolve that problem. See, if you don't put those standards on yourself, you'll think 100% of the time about the problem. Who's to blame? Who did it? Why did it happen? This, that. And you'll have no energy left. But if you'll say 20% I'm going to think about the problem, 80% I'm going to be asking God how to resolve it. Watch then how when the Spirit of God speaks, you'll have room to hear. You'll be able to hear His advice, hear His creativity. Then people will say after a while, that's a person of insight. She's a woman of great wisdom. She hears God. She's creative in resolving things. She's so encouraging. She's someone who's always looking out for the best in people. Why? Because you've made room in your heart through the way you think, monitoring what's going on in your heart so that the Lord can speak into your life. That comes straight out of Scripture. Let's read this last verse together and you'll see what I mean. Ready? Go. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, let your minds on these things. That's the stuff you can eat all day long. That's it right there. The other stuff, don't eat. This stuff, you can indulge yourself in. And the Scriptures talks to us about monitoring our hearts. And when you do, you watch what the Holy Spirit can do. And you'll be a person after God's own heart.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Faith When No One Is Looking by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to support this radio ministry as we continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You can give online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Giving tab and designate your gift for radio and TV. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Giving tab. As you do, Philippians 4:17 says, "The fruit of this ministry will abound to your account." We also invite you to visit our website where you'll find other helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, videos, tape and CD series, and the Life Journal that is such a vital part in the lives of those of us here at New Hope. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Please join us again and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.